buddy. Good morning, everybody. I had been wondering what I was going to speak about as recently as a week and a half ago, because I had been speaking on prophetic things discussed in the Old Testament, and it seemed like in the last week the Lord laid the Holy Spirit on my mind. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the life of the believer just a little bit. There's going to be a lot of Bible references. A lot of them are so short you won't have time to turn there. If you have time to turn there, I'll stop and pause and ask you to go ahead and turn there. I apologize ahead of time for using the English Standard Version, which I know there may be some of y'all using it. It makes it kind of hard to follow when using the King James, but it's an accurate translation, and we trust the Lord to bless. And if it ever seems like I'm pointing at y'all, I remember the adage, whenever you're pointing at somebody else, there's three fingers coming back at you. So whatever I say to apply to the church in America generally applies to me. So if we could ask the Lord for his blessing on reading him his word. Father God, we just thank you so much that you've given us of your spirit, Father, that you've poured him out to put your love in our hearts, and he testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. He testifies of his sacrifice on the cross for us. He testifies of his resurrection and of his coming again, Father. We just ask that he would guide us through this day, Father, as I try to preach your word. We just pray that your truth would go forth, Father, and any error put in by me would not be heard, Father, but your word would bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. It had been a difficult year for the Jones family. Their oldest daughter's husband, Bruce, had been diagnosed with cancer. The scan seemed to show growth scattered throughout his body. Now, Bruce was a father with three sons and two daughters. His oldest had just graduated high school and were starting their adult lives. His youngest were preteen. The prognosis was grim. Without a miracle, his life on this earth would soon be over. He was a strong believer in Christ, and he battled the disease with courage and grace. While he sought the care of a highly trained oncologist, he also prayed for healing and guidance from the Lord, while his family and the believers in his church prayed for his healing. He was kind toward the doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals trying to help him while his former good health slipped away. His wife had taken a part-time job to help with the bills while he was out of work. And 2 days before he passed from this life, he took his wife by the hand. He quietly reminded her to be faithful to their Lord by tithing from her new income. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. John had been in Bangladesh for a week of ministry. Some of the young people from his home church had traveled with him to act as part of his ministry team. They didn't have much experience in supernatural ministry, but they were willing to try. It was a wonderful week studying the scriptures, worshiping in song, and visiting the local people. The locals, while very poor, were kind and hospitable to them all. On the last day, the team ended the day while praying together for the power of the Lord. The team began moving among the young Bangladeshis, laying on hands and praying. A few of the Bangladeshis were filled with the power of the Spirit and began speaking in tongues. A few others were healed of various infirmities. The Spirit fell on a group of young Bangladeshi women, and they started weeping with a great passion for their people. Then out of the corner of his eye, John saw a young man writhing on the ground. He knew from a previous conversation that this young man, whose life had been dominated by alcohol until just a few weeks ago when he had started believing in Christ. Now Will, a 20-something who had been attending John's fellowship for about a year, had never been very active in church. But as they studied through Mark's gospel, he had gotten excited about the thought of the kingdom of God making a change in people's lives now, just like he had read about in the book of Mark. The man on the ground was making unusual sounds, and it looked like all the blood had been drained out of his face. Will looked John in the eye and said, "What do you think about that?" "That's a demon," John said. "Will, you know what to do. Go cast it out." In a moment that probably changed Will's life forever, he turned around, quickly walked over to the man on the ground, and confidently ordered, "In the name of Jesus, get out of him. You evil spirit, leave." At that, the man on the ground began vomiting a bright yellow fluid that looked like antifreeze. When the vomiting stopped, the young man on the ground suddenly became peaceful and opened his eyes. Through an interpreter, the teen told of how he had been addicted to alcohol and how the strange fluid had tasted just like the wine he used to drink in his village. Clearly, the young man had been delivered from a demon of alcoholism. We listened as the young man's testimony was given to us in broken English. "I believe in Jesus before, but now I think he is so much loving me." That young man is now serving Jesus full time as a minister in his country, telling his fellow Bangladeshis what great things the Lord has done. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Two believers, one here in Georgia, I know the Jones family, another one on the other side of the world. Different manifestations of the selfsame Spirit of God. So just what is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer? Well, first of all, he is our life. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian believers, and you can turn to 2 Corinthians 3, 2 through 6. This is kind of a long passage. Apostle Paul told the Corinthian believers in the second letter to him, "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on your hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So just what is this new covenant that we're to be ministers of, and how did we come to be under it? Well, according to the Scriptures, we were born into this covenant. So now if we'll turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now this is a very familiar passage of Scripture to all of you. This is when Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. And starting in verse 2, Nicodemus said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So it is that the Holy Spirit of God gives us the new birth. Jesus, the master illustrator, says that just like the wind, he's invisible to our mortal eyes. We can't see him, but we're witnesses to his touch on our lives when he has come into contact with us and when we're yielded to him. Not that anyone could resist him, or could they? Well, yes, we both can resist him as human beings, and we do. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, I'm gonna interject here. I was at my dad's Baptist church with my dad. We went up to see him for his 81st birthday. It was a blessing. Well, at the end of the service, they were playing a hymn of probably calling people to prayer. I've got to say, I believe the Holy Spirit was drawing me to go to the altar, and I didn't know why. I didn't have anything on my heart that I knew of, but it was like, and I resisted. It was so powerful. It was like a wave came over me, and I had nothing on my mind that I could be thinking of. But so it is possible. We do resist. I think that was the Spirit. But in Acts chapter 7, quoting the Old Testament, it says, actually, this was Stephen. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Now, this verse in Acts was said by Stephen, who was one of the seven deacons, the original seven deacons to the church of Jerusalem. He was appointed by no one less than the original apostles of our Lord. Now, how did he know that these people that were hearing him were resisting? What kind of man was he? What credentials did he have to make such a claim to speak for God? Well, according to Acts 6, verse 5, it said that the apostles chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Well, now, what was it about Stephen that testified to his being full of the Holy Spirit? Well, according to verse 8 and following, it says, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. So then, after this, evil men were recruited to lie about Stephen, to bear false testimony. And isn't this just what our Lord said would happen to us? Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So Stephen, this holy man, a deacon at the church at Jerusalem, considered by many to be the first martyr of the church, a man who was given a view into the very throne room of heaven, because we read this about him as the crowd was about to cast him out of the city and stone him. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And as the crowd was stoning him, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Which, of course, he was dead. We know for a believer, usually the euphemism is we're asleep. A holy man indeed and full of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living Christ, and he, acting in Christ's stead, had a similar confession as Jesus had had from the cross towards his persecutors when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the Holy Spirit living in us enables us to be Christ-like. Grace and, yes, power. As it says in Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the Spirit is our life. The first job of the Holy Spirit in a new believer is to give him life from above. Or to put it another way, to be born again. Now keep in mind that we're talking about the Spirit in the life of a believer, not an unbeliever. In their case, he is sent to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in Jesus. Of righteousness because he has been raised to go to the Father and we no longer see him. And of judgment because the prince of this world, Satan, has been judged. So Christ in us, the Holy Spirit, makes us alive unto God, alive in the Spirit. The second job of the Holy Spirit is to build us up into a dwelling place for God. According to Ephesians 2, verse 22, in him, or Christ, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And according to 2 Corinthians 4, 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So first the Spirit of God births us, then he dwells in us to cause us to grow up into the image of Christ. This is walking in the Spirit. So now if we'll turn over to the book of Galatians, this is one of the classic scripture references regarding walking in the Spirit of the living God. Starting in chapter 5, down at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And a little bit further down in chapter 6, verse 8 reminds us that the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So it is the Holy Spirit who builds us up into the home for Christ. Thirdly, the Spirit helps us to pray. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I think this is a familiar verse to everybody. Chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And Ephesians 6:18, don't turn there, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And over in the little book of Jude, verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Think of it, God's omniscient, all-powerful Spirit interceding for us and helping us to pray. Fourthly, we worship God by the Spirit. Now we're going to turn over to Gospel of John chapter 4 when the Lord was passing through Samaria. So we'll go over that and we'll be starting at verse 10. As Lord Jesus Christ said to the woman at the well as he went through Samaria, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And then down in verse 14, the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then a little further down, in verse 24, Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now it should be clear that the Lord is talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, as he had said in the gospel when he was talking about the living water. According to St. Luke, he said, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is the prophesied gift of God. It is he who is the spirit of worship and the new life of the believer. in the Apostle Paul's response to the Judaizers who were attempting to get the Philippian believers to fall away from grace by trying to please God through good works in the flesh, the Apostle drove home the fact that true worship is always from the Spirit. Now the Judaizers taught that circumcision and keeping of the law was necessary for salvation. And the Apostle said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." And also in Galatians 4, verse 6, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So true worship is drawn out of believers and offered to God through His Holy Spirit. Fifthly, we're conformed. We're built up into the image of Christ by the Holy Spirit. If you'll turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read a number of scriptures starting at verse 14. And verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." The scriptures teach that believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God at salvation, as Paul had told the believers in Ephesus. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." They also teach that in order to be built up into the image of Christ, we must cooperate with the Spirit's work in us. And Romans 8:6 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." And a little further down in verse 13, the apostle explains, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So then, the fact is that even though the Spirit sealed all of us when we first believed the gospel, the truth is that is just the beginning of our walk with the Spirit and by the Spirit. Our minds and our cooperation are absolutely necessary for growth in Christ-likeness. Remember, it is a walk with the Spirit, not a ride. Walks require cooperation of the walkers involved. For His part, the Holy Spirit is always there to help us be conformed to God's image, to Christ's image. It is when we choose to neglect the gift of the Spirit through sin that we also walk away from the joy, peace, and yes, the power that He wants to bring into our lives. Now, I said this, but I actually have a little, we're going to run early. It says, won't have time to get into the more controversial aspects of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the life of believers and of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which I'd love to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I'd like to, so perhaps elders will invite me to speak again. I'm convinced that the believers here at Three Oaks are serious about faithfulness to the Scriptures and in wanting to walk out their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that holds the Scriptures in high regard and in a way that does not grieve or quench the Spirit who desires to conform us to the image of God's dear Son. The Lord Jesus Christ, the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the very One who spoke the worlds into existence and holds all things together, the very electrons in their orbits, by the word of His power, to Him be all glory, now and forevermore. Matthew, I was 20 minutes, I think. I could have. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, the One who desires to call us His friends, But even more than that, you desire for us to call you our Father. We thank you for your great love in giving us your Son, your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for sinners such as we, for delivering us from the power of sin in our lives and from the power that sin held over us in the fear of death. Father, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that your people might live in peace with the ones around them and not be a target for those being led astray by Satan. We pray for the salvation of the Jewish people and thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit in the Middle East. Thank you that many are coming to faith in Christ in those lands. Father, we do thank you for your blessings in our lives, for godly parents, for children who are following you in their lives and have not turned away to follow the siren song of this world, which is quickly fading away. We ask you for a special blessing and filling of your Spirit on those attending the annual youth conference at Camp Hope this weekend. We ask that you give our brother Nathan Bramson great insight and great boldness in holding forth your word. May the good seed sown this weekend result in a great harvest as we enter these perilous times ahead. We do pray for those Christians in China, North Korea, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Egypt, the Sudan, and elsewhere who are being persecuted even now for their faith. We pray for their deliverance. We pray for a special filling of your Spirit as they suffer for the name of Christ, that they may remain faithful. Many of them have endured to the end so that they might obtain resurrection to a better life, that is, a heavenly. May we keep them in mind and lift them up in prayer as we are commanded to do in your word. Please help us here in the United States to be faithful to you and our country. Woe to us when all men speak well of us. We know nothing of the afflictions and suffering that our brothers and sisters are going through right now because they dared to believe the gospel, to name the name of Jesus Christ. But if your hand does not restore us, if your Spirit does not sweep through our land, starting in the hearts of your people, then we may well know what they already know, that you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. Then we may well know. Please help us to be bold. Please fill us anew with your precious Holy Spirit and help us to stand in this present evil age. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.